And we mean action now.
Hi there, dear listeners of Radio Havana, Cuba. Today, we're connecting the dots between Bill Clinton, attorney, and Bill Clinton, President of the United States. Bill Clinton graduated from Yale Law School and became professor of law at the University of Arkansas. In 1975, he married Hillary Rodham, and in 1976, he ran for Attorney General of Arkansas. In 1978, he was elected Governor of Arkansas until 1979, then again from 1983 to 1992. He advocated for more spending on schools, better opportunities for gifted children, vocation, higher teaching salaries, and compulsory teacher transparency. He headed the Moderate Democratic Leadership Council in 1990 and 1991. He became president of U.S. The first term was from 1993 to 1997. The elections gave the Democrats full control of the U.S. Congress. The Democrats controlled the executive and legislative branches. Clinton wanted to create a national health care system, but was opposed by the American Medical Association and health insurance industry. In 1993, he signed the Brady Bill, which mandated federal background checks on people who purchased firearms. And on January 1994, he signed the North American Free Trade Agreement into law. He signed into law the Omnibus Crime Bill, expanding the death penalty to a wide variety of categories of violent felons. It also included an assault weapon ban for 10 years. In 1996, he issued an executive order on federal information technology, whereby information of the agency would be easily accessible to the public. He issued two executive orders lifting ban of security clearances for LGBT federal employees and outlawing discrimination based on sexual orientation in the federal civilian workforce. During his tenure, funding for HIV/AIDS research more than doubled. In 1996, he was re-elected for a second term from 1997 to 2001. He passed legislation forming the State Children's Health Insurance Program, a large health care reform for children. In his first term of office from 1997 to 2001, he signed the Family Medical Leave Act of 1993, which required large employers to allow employees to take unpaid leave for pregnancy or a serious medical condition. His views on abortion were that they should be safe, legal, and rare. During his administration, the abortion rate diminished by 18.4%. In 1993, he signed the Omnibus Budget Reconciliation Act, which cuts taxes for 15 million low-income families, made tax cuts available to 90% of small businesses, and raised taxes on the wealthiest 1.2% of taxpayers. Connecting the dots, from a progressive stance to a reactionary and primitive might makes right foreign policy during Clinton's tenure, American troops sent to Somalia suffered losses in an urban battle and were withdrawn. U.S. NATO forces bombed Bosnia Serbs in a heavy bombing campaign which was highly destructive. He visited North Ireland and played a part in the Good Friday Agreements in 1998. In February 1996, the Clinton administration paid Iran $131.8 million as settlement to discontinue a case brought up by Iran in the International Court of Justice after an Iranian civil air flight was mistakenly shot down by a U.S. Navy guided missile. He ordered a missile strike against the only pharmaceutical company in Sudan, accusing it of fabricating chemical weapons for terrorists. This was not true and was certainly a war crime. In 1995, he authorized the first U.S.-NATO airstrike in NATO history against the Serbs in Bosnia-Herzegovina in Yugoslavia. The Serbs did not want the Yugoslavia breakup. In 15 days and 3,550 sorties, forced the accords of the ministers of foreign relations of Bosnia, Croatia, and Serbia to sign a peace accord which led to the Dayton Accords that had created a Bosnia Federal Republic with two autonomous regions. Violence pays, and the Kosovars, organized and armed by the CIA into the Kosovar Liberation Army, struck again the Serbs. In March 1999, in a 76-day criminal NATO airstrike against Belgrade, Novi Sad, and Montenegro, caused many deaths and much destruction. Clinton justified it to maintain Europe free, pacified, and stable. The aim was to put pressure on the civilian population and destroy the economy of Yugoslavia once and for all.
Now is the moment. Now is the moment. Come on.
NATO forces, after 50 years of its existence in Europe, was being used as a belligerent force to bomb European nations such as Yugoslavia with sophisticated weapons. The Kosovar government and army, which was run by fascist thugs involved in huge drug dealing, became an independent state where the Americans built a very big NATO base. Clinton, in the State of Union address in 1996, said that although communism and fascism have disappeared, the U.S. must face new threats such as terrorism, weapons of mass destruction, organized crime, and drug traffic. America was an exceptional nation and must lead the way. This Clinton doctrine, known as the Doctrine of Affirmative Multilateralism, was based on the assumption that the restoration of democracy and dethroning dictators as responsibility of the United States, because it's the last superpower remaining. American high military technology, smart weapons, would be used to impose its will without the need of committing American troops extensively. In other words, brief incursions using an overwhelming military might, especially with guided missiles and Air Force bombing, will do the trick. The Clinton strategy was based on keeping American bases around the world from which it could order strikes without the need of invasive troops. In 1998, Clinton, during the midterm election season, ordered the Operation Desert Fox against Saddam Hussein, where an enormous amount of missiles were used and complemented by several days of heavy bombing by Great Britain against the Iraqi military infrastructure. Attacking 166 times in 1999 and 78 times in 2000. Coinciding with the Lewinsky scandal, he ordered Operation Infinite Reach, where numerous missiles were launched against supposed bases in Afghanistan and the aforementioned destruction of the only pharmaceutical laboratory in Sudan. As reprisals against the al-Qaeda attacks on U.S. embassies in Kenya and Tanzania. How is it that Bill Clinton, with an initial democratic stance, retreats to a warring hawk against other nations? Working his way up for so many years within the U.S. imperial government, living comfortably with a relative wealth and surrounded by armchair politicians who have a national superiority complex, does it? His tenure paved the way for the next George Bush government, which certainly compromised the U.S. NATO forces to a superior degree and had no qualms about invading other nations. Using smart bombs and smart missiles proved to be not enough. Connecting the dots, this is Mike Hudson.
And we made